I'm joined now by host of FCS Nation and, of course, our national college football correspondent, Kevin Marshall. Kevin, yeah, we're getting to Turkey Day, which means that we have FCS playoffs this weekend, and the entire bracket has come out for us. There are some people that are excited. There are some people that are upset. But I think the one thing everybody in the country can agree on at this point, if you're not biased, is that Montana State at 12-0 with an FBS win and a dominating win in the Brawl of the Wild is deserving of that one seed. What are your thoughts on the Cats getting that top seed and finishing undefeated in the regular season?
Well, they definitely deserve it, right? I mean, you go through the Big Sky and your entire schedule undefeated, and you have an FBS win that maybe didn't look all that great when it happened, but that same team beat Washington State, right? So that was that win aged well for the Bobcats, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for South Dakota State, you know, Oklahoma State isn't what people thought it were going to be before the season started, right? I mean, they thought that was a team that was going to contend for the so-called college football playoff up at the next level. So, you know, that win or that loss maybe isn't as good of a quality loss as people thought it was at the time. South Dakota, we know what they did last week against the Bison, being the 3 seed. That's how we have them ranked. Obviously, the committee didn't do that, which is kind of a head scratcher. But I guess that, you know, things are a little different when you're sitting in a committee room and you got to try to put together matchups and stuff like that. I don't want to make excuses for them. I'm just wondering if a lot of those committee folks watch the games in some of these cases. But, you know, you just kind of scratch your head and you go, how do you put Incarnate Word over Idaho? You know, there were some questions that kind of went along with this thing, and I just don't know exactly what they were thinking, right? I mean, mm-hmm. UIW at the 6, I thought, was just a head-scratcher. Idaho at 8, when you look at who Idaho's losses to, I mean, that's yikes. I just sometimes sit here and wonder what those folks were thinking, James.
Yeah, definitely. I know that you're not going to mince words at all. So with that being said, we look at the Missouri Valley squads that are in the tournament. You have 3 in the top 4. You have a 12 seed in Illinois State at this point. But I think a lot of people have been up in arms one way or the other, whether they think it's good or bad, the 2 through 4, North Dakota State, the 2 seed, South Dakota State, the 3 seed, and South Dakota, the 4 seed. In your opinion, how do you think they came to that finalization with those 3 programs at 2 through 4 the way that they were?
I mean, I look at this and I go, okay, I get it a little bit, right? NDSU, South Dakota State, and USD, you have kind of it being wonky with the head-to-heads, right? Mm-hmm. And the NDSU-FBS loss looks a lot better to Colorado than the South Dakota State loss does to Oklahoma State. So I get that. But normally, you know, in the past, you think that every time there's maybe been a question mark about where North Dakota State was going to be seated, they were coming off the national title, and they got the benefit of the doubt. South Dakota State didn't get that. And, you know, maybe that's how it should have been all along. Maybe this committee, you know, finally, you know, said, all right, what we see happen on the field and these metrics have to matter, not who the name is. So, but if you're USD, I mean, you're like, well, we just beat this team. I mean, the day before we beat North Dakota State, how can we be behind them? Right. And, mm-hmm. I do think at the end of the day, that loss to Portland State, the loss of the game due to the whooping cough, might have really hurt the Yotes in that they didn't have the requisite number of D1 wins, right? They would have beat Portland State. And I think that might have really, really hurt them. And, you know, UC Davis, they struggled with Sacramento State the Saturday before Selection Sunday. You know, that game, people were expecting a blowout, including myself, and it just didn't go that way. So in that top 5, I think they all are national title contenders. And then it gets a little dicey when you get to 6, 7, and 8. I think Idaho has a shot out of that group of 6, 7, and 8 to maybe go the furthest. and maybe give those teams in that top four, top five some problems later on down the line.
You had just mentioned that South Dakota, and whether you're a fan of them, whether you're not, whether you're a Bison, a Jack, whichever, anybody else in the country, do you think that the Portland State no contest affected South Dakota's ranking more? Or was it the Division II game that they played against Northern State, even though they dismantled them, the fact that they played a game down and didn't get that extra FCS matchup? Because in my opinion, that Portland State should have went as a forfeit and they should have gotten credit for it. Where do you view that compared to where the committee did in that D2 versus the no contest at the FCS level?
Well, look, people who are complaining and saying you ought not to play a D2, you know, I get that, but nobody sets out to have to do that, right? Nobody says, I want a D2 in this spot. Things happen, right? Like with South Dakota State, they had a game cancel, right? So they scheduled Augustina or whatever you want to call them, right? I mean, I'm unfamiliar with the way that school is pronounced itself, so I did one thing right there that my mother always said I ought not to do, and that's show my own ignorance in public. So I just did that. But, you know, they didn't want to play that game, and they were forced to by somebody canceling within a year. And that happens at this level, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to get an FCS team that's going to get a call from an FBS to fill a slot for money, and they're going to take that. They're going to take that every time. If it costs you $100,000 to buy out an FCS game and you can get $650 to go play an FBS team, you're going to do that every time, right? Mm-hmm. And for people who want to say that that's a bad thing, well, it's easy to say that when you're operating from a different set of financials than most FCS teams are, which are almost all of the Dakota schools. They just are, right? And the Montana schools too. So I get why that happened. And it's going to happen again. It will probably happen to NDSU again at some point. Somebody will say, no, we don't want to come out there. Here's your payoff, and you're going to be looking for a game. And that will probably end up happening to the Bison sometime in the future again. So maybe don't scream so loud about it when it happens to others, because it happened to them, it could happen to you. So that's how I feel on that. But that Portland State game would have been nice to have in the W column. It would have given them that extra D1 win, and then maybe that game that they played down wouldn't have mattered. It's who knows at this point, but it is a valid question and a valid point.
I'm going to play devil's advocate one more time with the three Dakota schools up at the top of the bracket, and I don't even know if there's an actual answer to this. But when I look at those three schools, I'm not saying that I agree or disagree. I really do think that for the most part they did get those top four schools right. I think that they did a pretty darn good job of them based off of bodies of work and everything. But if you look at how the qualifier went for the automatic bid based off of tiebreakers, technically the Jackrabbits, even though it's a three-way tie share for the Valley, the Jacks got that automatic bid technically in there. And so the reason that I bring that up is the fact that the Bison won head-to-head against South Dakota State, and they got the two seed. But then it seemed as though South Dakota wasn't given that same benefit of that, in that even though there was that technical conference championship automatic bid for South Dakota State. With that little jumbled question there, does any of that make sense? And is this more or less just an eye test based off of how you saw teams perform over the last, let's say, you know, 12, 13 weeks?
I think it's really interesting. And I have a question for conferences that have three or four champions. I mean, so with the trophy situation, I mean, back there behind the office, what, they got a shed back there, 5-6 trophies in there or no? What do you think, James? You know, to see, you know, three different teams holding up a trophy, I'm like, well, how many of them things y'all got, you know, to pass out? But look, there's been years in the Missouri Valley before where somebody's won the automatic bid and somebody's been seated higher than them from that same league. So that's not an aberration. That's happened before. But, I mean, at least the MVFC didn't do what the CAA did this past week. And so Richmond won the outright championship, they thought, right? Because they're on, they had beat Delaware and went undefeated in the CAA. Well, the CAA decided that, you know, the Rhode Island story this year of not playing anybody and getting the number 10 seed, you know, that wasn't fortunate enough for the Rhode Island Rams. So they just decided, you know, willy-nilly-like, to give Rhode Island a trophy too and say that, well, you know, your only loss in the conference was to Delaware, who's transitioning to the FBS. So we're going to give you a trophy too. And Richmond is sitting there going, but we beat Delaware and went undefeated. And the CAA said, it doesn't matter. Rhode Island's just too good of a story not to give them a trophy. The CAA is just a joke. It's a clown show. Look at the teams they got in. None of them played each other. None of them played anybody that was any good in the conference. That has got to be punished, not rewarded. And those cats sitting around there in that committee, including the North Dakota State AD, what the hell are y'all doing rewarding that dumpster fire clown show, which is what the CAA was? You just decide to give Rhode Island a piece of the conference championship, just like I said, all willy-nilly-lack. And Richmond's sitting there going, we won every game in the league and beat Delaware. We're not outright champions. Get the hell out of town with that junk.
Next thing I got for you, we're going to look at and compare conferences with these 24 teams remaining. The Big Sky getting 5 teams in, the Missouri Valley getting 4 teams in. I'm putting you up against the fire, Kevin. Which league was deeper this year?
The Southern Conference was deeper this year. Look at the way that it went. They only got one squad because they beat the hell out of each other. Again, it happens. And that should be rewarded, not having 16 freaking teams, James. All right? But in all seriousness, one team from the SoCon is disappointing. But, you know, they handle their business and, you know, have a clear number two, then, you know, you would have 2 teams in. Nobody to blame but themselves. But I think the Missouri Valley, top to bottom, you know, there are some teams at the bottom. I mean, Indiana State looked good this year at times, right? Mm-hmm. That's a program that's on the rise. The Big Sky was bad at the bottom. Bad, 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 bad at the bottom. And kind of decent in the middle and good at the top. But I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that the Missouri Valley Football Conference is still the best conference in FCS after this season. So, you know, how that's going to translate to the playoffs, we'll wait and see. You know, some things can happen. They haven't usually happened in the FCS playoffs for whatever reason. We don't have the NCAA tournament type Cinderella madness, right? I mean, occasionally you'll have a team like Maine, right, or a team like Incarnate Word a few years ago. But generally, chalk holds pretty good once you get past that first round, don't it? So, you know, maybe this will be the year where a whole bunch of stuff happens that nobody sees coming. I hope so. That would make it far more interesting.
At this point for you, before a single game gets played in this 24-team bracket, is there a team or a seed that makes you the most surprised? Is it? I know you had mentioned Incarnate Word at 6, Idaho at 8. You look and you see Rhode Island at 10, and what was another one that I was kind of curious about? You have Tennessee State at 9-3, not being seeded. They go up against 14 seed Montana in the evening hours on ESPN2 on Saturday night. Is there just one where you were kind of wondering, or maybe you thought they did a heck of a job on it as well?
You know, there's number 12, Illinois State, and people are going to go, but you just said the Valley was the best conference. It is. But, you know, I'm not anything if not a walking contradiction, James, right? I mean, my dad used to say that I had a very, very special gift that I can complicate the obvious and simplify the momentous. So, I mean, there's that. But, I mean, when you look at Illinois State and who they beat, right, not a really impressive list of teams. And there are several teams in who are seeded who have that same problem. I mentioned Rhode Island. You even look at Villanova. You look at especially Incarnate Word. Like, their best win, Incarnate Word, is Northern Arizona, whose best win is Eastern Washington that happened on Saturday. I don't mean to pile on them because I'm a fan of what they do down there, but your best win is Northern Arizona and you're the number 6 seed in the national playoffs? That don't sit right with me. But the eye test thing is kind of there with Incarnate Word. and everybody loves their quarterback, Zach Calzada, he does have the ability to put that team on his back and carry them to some wins in this tournament. But I will say, if I had to pick a dark horse who's not in that top five, I think you have to look at the Idaho Vandals, and that's because they have a lot of depth at quarterback, James.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A lot of these teams, most of these teams, if the starter goes out with an ankle in the first quarter, remember that's what happened to Mark Gronowski in that spring championship game down there in Frisco against Sam Houston.
Indeed.
But if a starter goes out with an ankle, well, out of pure necessity this year, Idaho's played three quarterbacks in games that mattered, and they had to start them. So they're going to run a guy out there if Jack Lane gets hurt who isn't going to vomit on the field because he hasn't played or the game is going to seem too fast. So Idaho has a shot, I think, because if quarterback goes down, they have guys who have played and who have played well and who have led them to significant and signal victories, sir. So I think Idaho is a dark horse. You circle them and say this is a team that if the wheels fall off somewhere else, can be a team that can go a long way here.
In closing with you today, Kevin, what do you have on the Turkey Day edition of FCS Nation?
Well, we'll look back at last week, and then we'll talk about the field, the seeds, and I might rant a little bit probably. Maybe you heard a mini version of that a couple minutes ago on the CAA. We'll preview the games taking place, and then we'll pick the games that are going to take place on Saturday, and we'll do what we think is going to hoist a trophy down there in Frisco, and it'll be a good show. We appreciate everybody tuning in, and look, we wouldn't have jobs doing this without y'all listening, and we really appreciate you each and every week after week, season after season, and it's really a great thing to have such good fans of FCS who think our opinion is worth listening to.